for us today for Mother's Day. And while he's getting all that ready, I'd like to ask all the mothers to come up and just stand across in front of the stage here. All the mothers up here this morning, please. All right, in front of the table instead of in front of the stage. Or on either side of the table works too if there's enough room. All right, we are very, very thankful for all of our mothers today. You have a little token gift from Woodland, so you can take one. There's not a special prize in any of them. They're all the same. But on the front of this, it says, "Blessed is the woman who walks with God." And we appreciate all you do, but especially all of you just by the fact that you're here today shows that God is a part of what you desire in your life. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the fact that you model that for us. And it makes a difference in the lives of every person you see out here and everyone who's attached to your family. So I want to take just a moment to say a word of thanksgiving and blessing for you on this, your special day. Lord, we are so thankful for our mothers. We're thankful for family the way you created it to be. And we just ask right now that you would bless these moms and all moms on this day, but more than just a blessing, help them to realize how much you care for them, how much you love them, how much you want to lead, God, and direct them as they lead, God, and direct so many themselves. Lord, we thank you for the gift of moms, especially on Mother's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, and you may have a seat. Enjoy the skit. It's for you. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Lord, as we come to you, as we look into your word, as we continue talking about what discipleship is and recognizing our moms today, Lord, it's amazing how everything you do in our lives is intended to fit together. So, Lord, help us to see that today, to recognize that you don't desire for our lives to be compartmentalized, that we go over here and do this part and here and do this and ask you to help us with this, but that everything really is truly connected and you desire to be a part of all of it. In fact, we're designed that we can only function the way you want us to in anything if you are a part of everything, unless you're part of everything. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to understand that and see that in context today in the message that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is scripture that Paul shared with Timothy. And I believe it's something that not only was from Paul to Timothy as he led congregations that were there, but I believe this comes as a message from God directly to us today. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some specifics, some general things. But I just want to go through this scripture again. I know I don't have the most pleasant voice this morning, but as I read it once again, I invite you to maybe read in your Bibles or follow along on the screen, but I want you to understand this as a message coming from God to you. God knows everything that's happening in your life right now. What is he talking about to you
to this scripture, because we said last week the Bible is the living Word of God. And in the living Word of God, it speaks directly to you in your situation and what that situation is today. So let's hear this scripture once again. And let's hear it and understand what God is saying to each one of us individually. Command those who are rich in this present world. And I'll pause there to say there's not a one of us here who is not rich in this world. Not one. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of life that is truly life. That is God's Word. And it's God's Word for us to take and understand. If you've been here, you know we have different kind of quotes each week, and there's two more this week. The one I want to start with says, integrity involves sharing our true selves with people, and integrity breeds integrity in those we disciple. Integrity involves sharing our true selves with people, and integrity breeds integrity in those we disciple. Today I'm going to talk about being a godly mom. But I'm also going to talk about how being a godly mom parallels good discipleship, which has been the theme that we've been talking about now for several weeks. And the skit was really a model, a jumping off point for what I want to talk about. And I'm wondering if some of the moms are going to maybe relate a little bit more than the rest of us to some of the topics I'm going to pick. And the first one is one of these. The first one is craziness. Moms, do you ever experience craziness in your house? Pat just said never. I don't believe her. But craziness exists. It's life. And there may be times that we wish, and yes, moms take bubble baths in the middle of the day. They have to do something to escape the craziness every now and then. But I bet if you ask a mom, really ask a mom honestly, they wouldn't want to get rid of all the craziness. They just want a break every now and then. Because in the midst of that craziness is where and how life happens. Things don't happen in neat little packages. Things don't happen the way you always want to plan them, and they never will. I've heard it said, why is it that a car will come with an instruction book but children don't? Because it doesn't work that way. Well, that's the first one, craziness in motherhood. The second one is questions. I wonder if moms ever deal with this. If I know my mom asked me lots of questions. Heck, my mom still asks me lots of questions about where I'm going, where I've been, what's happening, what I'm doing, what did I eat. Did I iron my shirt before I went to church today? Moms just continually ask questions, but moms aren't only asking questions. Moms are being asked questions. And their favorite question of all that they get asked is why? 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 So questions are a part of motherhood. And I think it's a part of being a very good mother. We'll talk a little bit more about that. The next one is mirroring. Mirroring, what is that talking about? It's not just when they have a few moments to actually look in the mirror to put lipstick or something on their face. But mirroring is talking about what was talked about in the skit here that Delaney said, is that sometimes you see your mom when you're doing the things that you're doing. But just as you're mirroring those who have provided an example for you, moms are mirroring. Moms are being an example for their children, and they're learning. And they learn a lot more from what moms do than they do from what moms say. Then the next one is freedom. So yes, moms have some things that they say and do and some ways they want us to be like them. But the really good moms, the moms that understand what that God is the one in control and it's not them, give us the freedom to be the person God created us to be, not just always be and do the things that they think need to be done at that point in time, because they realize there could be a plan bigger than what they can understand, and they want to give us the tools and the ability to discover that and encourage us. And that leads to the last one, and that's unconditional love. And moms do this so well. They love us in spite of every shortcoming we have, every mistake we make, every smelly diaper they have to deal with. They love us. Well, moms, I thank you for that. And I included in my prayers, I was talking, and this really hit me today, that being a mom in the way God intended, is really very, very similar to being the disciple that God desires us to be. So I want to quickly go back, and we'll start back at that craziness again. Start back at where we talked about moms deal with the craziness. And as disciples, as people of Christ, the place that we really meet God, the place that we help others meet God, isn't in the neat little programs. It isn't in just memorizing a list of Bible verses, but it's in the messiness of life. Life is messy. And if we're going to help others understand who God is for us and who God can be for them, it doesn't happen simply sitting down and going through some scriptures, although that's important and that provides a foundation. Where the rubber meets the road is when life gets messy. And my guess is all of us understand places in our life where that happens, where it gets messy. That's where God needs to be. That's why it's so important not to compartmentalize God, to not make God only about coming, about your church time or about your devotional time. God's got to be in the craziness of life. He's got to be there as realistically and strongly and genuinely as he is anywhere else in order for discipleship to happen, just like it is for a mom. Because a mom is at her best at being a mom in the midst of the craziness. That's when you see who she is. Then next, it leads us to the questions. Discipleship involves questioning. First of all, if we're going to be disciples, I think we need to continually ask questions. We never on this side of heaven have all the answers, so we need to continue to strive to understand more and more. We do that through looking in Scripture, but we also do that by finding someone else that we can trust, someone else that we look up to, someone else who's ahead of us in the journey of faith. And it's important for us to have that type of person to look to. But it's also just as important for us to offer that and seek out someone else who needs that we can offer to them as well. That mirroring is so important. But we have to be careful, because when we start mirroring, when we start paying attention, when we start following examples of those that we're looking up to, God doesn't want us to become that person. Now, that person is supposed to provide an example, yes, because it provides a guide. But we aren't supposed to be them. And when we're leading someone else, we're not asking them to be exactly like us. We do some things that should help them along the way to see where the path is. But in the midst of that, there's freedom. Because as we talk about, as we understand, as we point towards God, we realize that God has called us individually to be who we were created to be. And that's the freedom that comes out of that. So yes. Yes, we're supposed to model for others. Yes, we're supposed to look towards others. But we're only supposed to be the person God created us to be. And that's the freedom in the midst of discipleship. He's recognizing that while there's similarities, while there's truth in who God is that never changes, there's freedom in understanding that we are like no one else. And God wants us to live into that freedom. Finally, there's unconditional love. In discipleship, we have to know that. It sounds really nice to say, and I don't know if you heard it, one of the last lines Delaney had, and Delaney, I don't know if you still got the script or can remember it there, but she talked about unconditional love and having that love not only for her children, but all the children of God. Was it something like that, Delaney? So that's what God desires of us. But in order for us to have that type of unconditional love, because if you think of it, there's probably three people right now that you really just don't feel very loving towards right now. It wouldn't take you very long to come up with that. But God wants us to be different than that. But in order for that to happen, we have to understand God's unconditional love for us. No matter where we've been, no matter what mistakes have happened, no matter how bad we think it is, we need to know that God loves us and cares for us. And for many of us, we can see that in our moms. But I tell you, there is no mom, and I'm saying this to moms right now, there is no mom that loves you more than what God loves you. And when you understand that, and when you know that, and when you experience that, and you know what it is to know that type of undeserved grace, then we begin to be able to go there in having that unconditional love for other people. Not because we're that great and we're able to love because we're just special like that, but because when God does that for us, then God is able to love other people through us as well. We can't do it. But God can do it through us if we give ourselves to God. It's not something we would choose to do. But if we allow God to be who God desires to be in our lives, we can express unconditional love that doesn't make sense this side of heaven because of the God who's inside of us. So, I close with the last quote that I've got for today. The richest discipleship develops through natural friendships as opposed to implementing programs programmatically. Basically, what that's saying is if you want to be a disciple, if you want to be the person God calls you to be, yes, come to church. Yes, learn. Be involved in a small group. Read your Bible. Do those types of things. That's a foundation that it needs to happen. We talked about a lot of that last week. But if you're really going to be a part of helping to grow disciples, it doesn't happen just by going up to someone and saying, why don't you come to church with me, and have them sit beside the pew, and then you go back and God has no part of what you've done for the next week. God has to be a part of your relationship. God has to be a part of natural friendships that happen. Then and only then do the programs, do the things that can be vehicles to help us know God better, really have any meaning. We can do those things all day long. And there are people who've been through, there are even classes sometimes at churches you get certificates for and stuff like that. And there have been people who have done that and they don't know God any more than somebody that's never spoken the name Jesus Christ. Because it's been more about themselves and about doing something that's programmatic as opposed to understanding it in a relationship. So as disciples of God, disciples of Christ, we've got to go there, and it's going to be messy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to involve questions. It's going to involve mirroring it and telling people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am imitators of Christ. That's a scary thing to say, but if we're going to be a disciple, we have to get to the point we can look at others and say that, look, you need to be like me because I'm like Christ, but you don't do it in a higher than mighty way. You do it in a loving way to say, I want to help you get to a place that God's helped me get to. And then that leads to freedom, and so many people today need freedom. They need freedom from things they don't even know have them in bondage right now. But we don't have time to go into all of those. But you know the things that are holding people back. You know the things that are holding you back. But if we can begin to move down this road, take this journey, and you know on this Mother's Day, our moms may be a great inspiration for us to do just this. And then we as a church, we as believers, we as individuals, we as the family of God, begin to demonstrate unconditional love that draws other people to Him. I'm asking the praise team to come on up. Lord, as we come now to a time of commitment, to a time of dedication, Lord, I believe that You're working in people's hearts right now. I believe there are people who are struggling, and people who want to be different, people who want to experience You differently, God, who want You to be in the midst of their mess. And so, Lord, as we lay our mess before you, lay it open for you to see. Not that you don't already see it, but that we're being honest about who we are and where we are. And God, we can't do it all by ourselves anymore. And Lord, we don't even know why we tried. But we give it to you. And Lord, as we do that, we seek to be who we know you've created us to be. And we want to have that relationship with you. So God, we may need to ask more questions. We may need to answer questions other people are putting before us. God, maybe we need to follow examples or be examples. Lord, maybe we need freedom from things that we're following in this world, things that we think are going to help us be more successful that are only success in the world's terms but are holding us back in terms of who you want us to be. And Lord, I believe who you want us to be is simply to know and understand your unconditional love and be able to share that with others. So Lord, if there's anything that we need to do today to get that right with you, to move down that path, may we follow through in making that commitment and living into it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be here at the front if you'd stand with me. Praise team is going to lead us. Any decisions you need to make, I'm happy to pray with you. The altar's open. Respond as God would lead.
Please stand. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial.